Believe me when I say that almost every business that thinks it needs more customers or is suffering from low sales is actually suffering from a creativity problem, not a sales problem. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Goldmine Radio. This is Dante Ormsby. Today, I'm going to share with you the law of creativity. And the reason why I believe this is important is because if you want a thriving business, a business that funds the lifestyle that you want to live, you have to get really, really good at being creative. Now, a lot of business owners, you know, they get into business because they know how to do something and they say, hey, you know what? I'm good at this. Why not start a business? And that's the technical side of business, right? I technically know how to do something, style hair, clean carpets, build websites, detail cars, whatever that technical skill is. The problem is the technical skill will actually start your business, but the creativity is what keeps it going. Without creativity, you're actually destined to fail and the business will actually die. I know a lot of business owners want to stay in that technical space. Hey, I'm good at what I do. I don't know much about this whole creativity thing. I don't want to know about that. I just want to do my job and get... That's great. But again, if you want a business that is developed to thrive and fund your lifestyle, you're going to have to get really good at being creative. And that's the topic that we're going to cover today. I'm going to start with a story. You know, years ago, I was dating a lady who was very, very kind. She was beautiful. She was a hard worker. She had many of the traits that men seek out in a partner, you know. The one thing we couldn't connect on, though, was how to take care of one another. We each had taken the love language tests and read books and articles and had multiple conversations on this one topic, but we had a lot of difficulty fulfilling one another's relationship needs. Things finally came to a head on my birthday one year. For weeks, she had been telling me leading up to the event of my birthday, I don't know if I'll be able to get off work in time to meet you for like a birthday dinner. I'm trying to get time off, you know, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. And she went on and on trying to prepare me for what she considered the inevitable disappointment. And sure enough, on the big day, she told me, hey, you know what? I'm really sorry to tell you this, but I won't be able to get off in time to take you to dinner. So I told her, hey, I understand. You know, I made plans with one of my good friends to grab an early evening meal. My friend and I were actually at this meal having a very pleasant evening when my phone rang, and it was my girlfriend. And she said, babe, I was able to switch some things around with a coworker and I could meet you for dinner. And I told her, wow, you know, I really appreciate that effort. But I reminded her that I was already eating, you know, with my friend. So you could hear the disappointment on the other end of the line. There was like this long silence that was louder than anything. And several seconds went by and I was waiting for her to say something. So finally she said, well, I guess I'll have to grab dinner with you some other time. So enjoy your evening. You know, this just statement dripping with disappointment. And so I told her, hey, hold on a second. Maybe we could meet up for dessert. And she said, well, that would be nice. So my friend and I wrapped up our meal and I set off to the local mall to meet my girlfriend. We agreed to meet up in the food court. When I arrived, she was already there and we walked over to the Cinnabon shop, one of my favorite treats that I really have absolutely no business eating, but I love them. And we placed our orders. So a few minutes later, we sat down to enjoy our dessert. After a few minutes, she said, I didn't have time to get you a gift, but I wrote you something. Now, she handed me a folded piece of paper. It was a very lovely, very heartfelt, well-written letter of her expressing how much I meant to her. And that was it. Just, you know, no envelope, no nothing. It was just a folded up piece of 8.5 by 11 paper with, you know, her heartfelt expressions. Now, at this point, I want to say I'm going to risk sounding petty, okay? I will qualify what I'm about to say by sharing this first. I had taken this woman on like trips, you know, multiple vacation trips, you know, planned out everything, cooked for her every week. made sure she had enough to bring to work the next day for lunch kind of thing. I took her out all the time. I cleaned her house on multiple occasions. I even paid for the food that was at her daughter's reception. My point is, I felt like I was doing a lot to contribute to making her life, you know, better, easier, taking things off her plate. And you can call me petty if you want to. I'm willing to accept that label. But the truth is, and I'm not going to lie to you, on my birthday, I was feeling that I was hoping that she would really do something. I mean, anything. I'm not talking about something like fireworks in the sky or anything like that. But just some kind of effort to put forward to show that she put thought into the day. I'm a pretty simple person. I mean, a gift card to my favorite restaurant, you know, $20 to whatever, you know, this burger shop or burrito shop. Here you go. Happy birthday. Be quiet. Would have sufficed. And I would have loved it. She made good money and she lived less than a mile away from four of my favorite restaurants and stores. For goodness sakes, we were meeting up in a mall. I mean, if nothing else, we're in a mall. You couldn't run over someplace and grab something and throw it into your letter. Anyway, as you can tell, I get still bitter about the situation. I really felt hurt at what I felt was a minimal amount of effort that wasn't being made. And ultimately, that was the straw for me. The relationship ended less than a week later. I knew that this wasn't going to work. Now, the moral of the story here, I did learn a very powerful lesson through that experience. And that lesson was that one that not only relates to relationships, but I found that it also relates to business as well. And this is it. All businesses and relationships suffer from a lack of creativity. By now, if you've been listening to any of my podcasts or heard me speak or read anything that I've written, you know that I am really big on not trading your time for money. You know, trading your time for money is a path that will always put a limit on the income a person can make. Just as dangerous, though, is doing just the status quo. In doing business for over 15 years, I can tell you without hesitation that 90% of the failed businesses I've personally seen or worked with could have been saved if the owners had actually exercised just a little bit of creativity. And I'm not kidding you about that statistic. 90% of them failed because of a lack of creativity. Not because they weren't good at what they did, not because they didn't know what they were doing. The businesses failed because the owners refused to think creatively to solve their problems. Now, take a mobile dog grooming company that I once worked with. My company's job was to use the business's established website to generate sales leads that could be called and appointments eventually booked. Pretty simple. After working with the owners for several months, the processes I put into place were cranking out like really impressive numbers of referrals, over 60 emails and 40 phone calls a month. You know, we're talking about 100 leads a month for a very reasonable rate coming in, no advertising, no marketing. All they had to do was clip the dogs. It was beautiful. Their schedule was filling up to the point that they were booking out appointments 3-4 weeks out. One of the owners called me in a panic one day. "Dante, we're not getting the referrals we need. We added a second truck, but we can't keep it busy. We need more leads. We need more." I asked them, well, how many repeat customers they were booking every month? They said, not many. You know, some customers were repeats, but the new customers were the ones that were making them the money. That made no sense to me whatsoever. So I asked them to walk me through their process, the entire business flow from getting referral to dog clipped and then beyond. I wanted to know what happened at the end of every dog grooming. They didn't know what I meant. So I asked them, do you leave behind a business card, a magnet that they can put on the fridge? Does the groomer even ask to book the next appointment right then and there so it's already scheduled? Again, the owners didn't know what I was talking about. To them, business was about booking appointments, doing the job, getting paid, moving on to the next client. That was it. They had never considered the value of every appointment that they were booking. Whether the customer came to the business through the search engine optimization we were doing, or an ad, or you know, saw a billboard, or whatever. The fact is, once the customer became a paying client, there was absolutely no need to ever pay to reacquire them. There was no database. There was no putting that customer into some kind of process where they're in a customer management system, where it's scheduled out, where they will be followed up with, and there was nothing. Believe me when I say that almost every business that thinks it needs more customers or is suffering from low sales is actually suffering from a creativity problem, not a sales problem. I'll say that again. Businesses that think that they are suffering from low sales or they need more customers are actually suffering from a creativity problem, not a sales problem. The good news is that there are solutions to address this creativity problem, and we're going to cover what they are in a couple of minutes. The law of creativity doesn't just apply to existing business owners. It even applies to people who want to start a business, but don't know where to begin. Most times, sadly, this is where most business ideas begin to unravel. This part that when you get to the point of you need to be creative. The conversation typically stops at, well, I don't know how, instead of sparking the conversations of how can I make this possible? What would it take to make it possible? Or is there a way maybe to start with a simpler version of my idea? Do you see what I'm saying? I suppose what I should probably do is add ideas to my statement of creativity and start saying all businesses, relationships, and ideas suffer from a lack of creativity. It's a cliche to say that the trick is to never give up. We hear that all the time. Well, that's partially true. But to go a little deeper, I have often found that my mind gets caught in a cycle of trying to make my original idea work, no matter what. And if I can't find a solution to get that done, then I give up. Over the years, I've discovered there is absolutely nothing wrong with adjusting my initial idea and simplifying it to the point where something can be done with it, and then building from there. Another method that I use is called what I call the break it strategy. As humans, we tend to see the solution to a problem as a one-way street that you either find or you don't. But the opposite is more often true, and there could potentially be dozens of options to solve a creative problem that you just aren't seeing because we're stuck in these paradigms of the way we're trained to think. There's one solution to every problem, or at least there's only one good solution to every problem. The key is to break that paradigm that's actually limiting your creative thinking. So this is the break it method. The next time you're struggling to find an inventive solution, I want you to try this. Think of the most common and conventional example of the topic that's in your mind. And by common conventional, I mean the way everybody does it, the way it is commonly done, okay? Think of that in your mind. Your job is to write down the steps and rules that it would take to create another identical whatever your topic is. Think of the conventional way it's done, the boring way everybody does it, and write down the rules as if this is how you would do things the common conventional way. Now, let's take an example. If your goal is to create a new kind of home cleaning service, I'm just taking one off the top of my head. I want to create the next best, greatest house cleaning service. Come to your home, make it look like new. Some of the rules that you would want to write down for the conventional way of doing it is, well, the service has to be called to book an appointment. That's typically how things are done, right? The service can be booked on a mobile device. Every room has to be cleaned once the cleaner gets there. Every room is cleaned. Only the house is cleaned. That's a rule. That's just how house cleaning is done. The service is booked for a specific day and a specific time. Now, you go through and you be as specific as possible and make the list, no kidding, as long as you want. What you're recording are the house cleaning paradigms that we have created for ourselves over the years. The established rules for creating a traditional house cleaning service. Write them down. Once all the rules for creating or recreating this topic have been established, the next thing you do is right next to each one of those rules, you break each and every one of them. You almost do the opposite if necessary. In the case of our house cleaning service, some of our broken rules should start to open our eyes to other possibilities. For example, what if the appointments came up as available at random times? So if the cleaners just happened to be in the area cleaning at another home, then they could easily stop by a nearby house as well, which helps keep costs low. What if the service performed micro or specific cleanings that took a fraction of the time? You know, our traditional was the whole house gets cleaned. Well, what if not the whole house got cleaned? What if there was just a couple of rooms got cleaned? What if two bathrooms get cleaned? What if only the kitchen got cleaned? Well, just the floors got swept. Something that would traditionally take maybe 3 hours, maybe could only take 30 minutes to an hour, which again, shrinks the amount of time, shrinks the overall cost, but still gets something that you done, something you want done, completed. What if car interiors were cleaned too? So it wasn't just the house. We broke the paradigm of the house is cleaned. Let's break that. What if the yard is cleaned? What if it was a monthly membership service that alerted you when upcoming bookings were available? And sent you an alert. You know, there's someone being, the house being cleaned down the street. They send out an alert to anyone who has the app on their phone. Hey, we're in the neighborhood. If you want something specific clean nearby, hit the button, prepay. We'll come by at such time, whatever the case may be, right? If you don't use the service in a given month, then you aren't charged the full fee, whatever the case may be. I'm coming up with all this off the top of my head. But as you can see, the possibilities suddenly start to grow as the number of rules you are willing to break increases. Now, of course, not all of the ideas that will pan out, like some of them are going to be nonsensical, ridiculous. But the point of the exercise is to help your mind discover new possibilities. If you would ask somebody without the break it methodology, hey, how would you recreate a house cleaning service? How would you create a house cleaning service? They would give you the traditional standard. Well, you know, I'd put up a website and I'd set appointments and okay, that's great. But what if you wanted to do something new and something fresh? Well, you write out all the rules for how to do a traditional, and then on the other side of each one of those rules, you break them and you see what is actually possible, what'll pan out for you and your business. So that's a method that I use whenever I need to get creative on demand, because sometimes that's the hardest task. How do you get creative on demand? I use the break it strategy. Bottom line, the old saying that it takes money to make money isn't always true or necessary. More often than not, more money won't help the situation. More work, more effort won't help the situation. A lot of times what you need is a little bit of ingenuity. We're not talking about a lot here. We're just talking about a little bit of creativity that can take you a lot farther than you are right now. Hey, that's all the time I have for you today. I want to thank you. I also would like to ask you, if you like the podcast, if you like something that you heard, please feel free to share, post the link to your friends on social media. It really helps the podcast grow and helps disseminate the information that I'm trying to share, that starting and running a business isn't as hard as you think. We just have to rethink how we've been doing it all this time. And also, we love reviews. If you're on Apple Podcast or Spotify, whatever your platform, feel free to leave a review. We read every single one of them and we learn from every single one of them. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.